here. So, firstly, like, welcome you all this evening. Hopefully you can hear me clearly. And as we all know, we're currently on percented times. Can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting? Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Council's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item using the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messaging to the following letters. So by now, type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer, and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. Okay, members, so let's jump into the agenda. So first item, any apologies, members?
There was an apology from Councillor McGuinness.
Okay, thank you, sir. Any others? No. Okay, then moving on to item number two, declarations of interest.
Sorry, Chair, Sean Dorn messaged me just there now to say he's with his mother and electricity's gone out wherever she is. He's going to try and join in as good news happens, right?
All right, no problem, Barr, thank you. Okay. Item two then, declarations of interest, both members or officers.
Chair, I want to declare an interest in item number six, given that I work within the advertising industry. I declare an interest and I'll take part in that element of the debate tonight.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Any others? No. Okay, then moving on to action sheet arising from the SPNR committee meeting held on Thursday the 15th of October, and then we'll go into the special SPNR committee meeting held on Friday the 23rd. So I'll go through it page by page. So the first one of Thursday the 15th of October, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, and page 5, and then I'll go into the special SPNR, which is just one page, so I need a proposer and seconder for those minutes.
Sorry, Chair, Councillor Byrne has a question.
Oh, yeah. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's page 4 of the action sheet from the normal SPNR committee. I want to give an update on the request to use Monaghan Row. I know we agreed to proceed with some of the office space for consultants from the Trust, and we talked about keeping an eye on it in future in case other space comes up. And I noticed that obviously it's coming off the action sheet because that has been approved, but the fact that it's an ongoing project, we just want to be able to keep an eye on it. So if the officer could give us an update of are the offices rented out, has consultants moved into it, or where are we in that process?
Okay.
Chair, it's Colin here. I'm happy to take that one.
Go ahead, Colin.
An update that I have been liaising with the Trust, and at this stage they haven't come back with any firm proposals to take up the offer. I believe it has been discussed at the senior management team within the Trust this week, so I'd expect an update thereafter. And I'll keep you informed. But at this stage, the urgency that they did say doesn't seem to have been there. That's certainly what I reported at the last meeting. But they haven't come back to me as such. but it continues to keep you updated via this platform. Is that okay?
Yeah, thanks very much. And Chair, just on the basis of that answer, can we leave it on the action sheet for the next meeting if there's a response to come back?
Yep, I don't see a reason why we can't.
Yep,
okay, so we have a proposer from Councillor Gallagher, seconded by Councillor Savage. Any other matters arising, members? No, okay. Moving on then to item 4, which is the notice of motion referred from council meeting held on the 2nd November. And that's yourself, Councillor Mason. So if I hand over to you just.
Thanks very much, Chair. The notice of motion is that this council establishes a standalone women's subcommittee made up of female representatives of this council to discuss and promote women's issues, to build the skills and confidence of female representatives, and to promote women getting involved in local politics to aim to achieve proportionality. Myself and my colleague, Councillor McGuinness, who unfortunately can't be here tonight, believe that this is an important issue. And the vision is that this working group will be of an informal structure and will be a group comprised of female representatives, but also, very importantly, our male allies, who should be encouraged to attend and become champions on women's issues. A group of elected representatives engaging our own organisation, other organisations, seeking training, education, confidence building, networking and expertise, and empowering each other both inside this chamber and within the communities that we represent. I reiterate that any working group should be non-restrictive and encompass all parties and be able to engage with, particularly but not solely, female leadership figures in our own council ranks and beyond. These skills and experiences and policy discussions should be open and welcoming to all. Only 26% of all councillors in the North are female, and this is well below the European average of 33%, despite more than half the population being female. Newry Moreton Down Council is currently ranked 8th out of 11 councils in terms of percentages of female representatives. Causeway Coast and Glens have 40% female representatives in their chamber, so just compare this to our 27%. The very fact that in our chamber, out of 41 councillors, we have only 11 females, 10 of which were elected and one of whom has since been co-opted into a male seat. While I'm glad that this is an increase on the previous chamber, which had just 9 females elected in 2014, it is clear that there's a lot of work still needs to be done. At times when I do look around our chamber, I note that there are no female party group leaders. Some political parties have a very small number of female representatives and others have none. I do believe that these parties have got some very tough questions to ask themselves about what they are going to do to address this. We do, however, have an opportunity to now tackle this head on. We have a female chief executive, a female chair of council, and several female committee chairs, giving us a fantastic platform to address this shameful representation issue. More and more frequent reports from around the world indicate that when women step forward to claim their right to participate in politics, they are met by a backlash that encompasses harassment and abuse, both online and offline. Many local cases have been publicised recently, and such widespread attacks against politically active women are a clear indicator of the negative impact of the unequal gender norms on the democratic health of our society. This is the case not only here, but across the world. Now, over the last century, there has been significant progress in women's numerical representation in politics around the world, but all too often this has not been directly translated into greater political influence. Political equality remains a distant goal. Efforts to improve female representation in politics have often focused on quotas and reserved shares. What is really needed is a nuanced approach that tackles the underlying interconnected barriers that women face in getting nominated for elected office, conducting successful campaigns and becoming effective, respected political representatives. For example, in our Downpatrick DEA, there was only one female candidate out of 11 on the ballot paper. I don't accept that this is good enough, and we have to ask ourselves why our women are not putting themselves forward more importantly, we have to do something about it. Some social scientists cite traditional family arrangements that limit women's career choices, and researchers at the Brookings Institution have found what might be called an ambition gap, generally within the population, with women underestimating their abilities and chances for success. It makes them generally less likely than men to even consider seeking public office, or to have political professionals encourage them to run. This needs to change. In our own council, have we considered that we have working mothers, when timetabling meetings, do we take this into consideration? I'm sure my female colleagues will agree that we have to juggle numerous tasks at home, at work, at home, and within our family life in order to attend council meetings. Research has suggested that the lack of confidence and self-assurance is a key issue for women in political life or those with an interest in even entering political life. And this prevents many from entering the male-dominated sphere of politics. We must provide a vehicle to change this. How many times have we sat in a meeting with an agency or an individual to find that the person we are meeting directs their attention to the male in the room, despite being you being the party, group or individual leading in this issue? This has happened to me, and no doubt many of my female colleagues, many times. Some of these gender norms are unconscious and entirely unintended. However, we do have a duty to identify and challenge these at every opportunity. I am a female, a mother, a wife, and a relatively new elected representative of 32 years of age, and I am determined to make political life, and indeed the linked community and civic life, more accessible and equitable for fellow women. I do not accept the unequal gender norms or the lack of confidence that many women within every walk of life, including ours, suffer, or the unequal political influence that exists, according to the research in political life, and I will not accept the fact that female representatives are faced with more harassment and abuse than our male counterparts, and I am determined to do something about it. I'm pleased to bring forward this motion that will bring together our representatives from all parties to look specifically at these issues, and indeed many others, to educate and empower. A group that may be able to reach out to other organisations, sectors, or young women and girls and those employees of local government. We may be able to harness experience and expertise to share experience skills and find a way to tackle some of the serious issues impacting women in our society. The current pandemic has undoubtedly exacerbated this issue. A recent article has cited the fact that women's jobs are 1.8 more times vulnerable to the crisis than men's jobs. Women make up 39% of the global employment, but account for 54% of the overall job losses. The main reason for this being that the virus is significantly increasing the burden of unpaid care, which is disproportionately carried out by women. It is simple, women are more vulnerable to the COVID-19 related economic effects because of the existing gender inequalities. Yet we only have to look at the approach our world leaders have taken when dealing with this crisis to see the effectiveness of women in politics. From Germany to New Zealand, Taiwan to Norway, women are stepping up to show the world how to deal with the crisis. And in fact, a study by the Centre of Economic Policy Research and World Economic Forum cited that countries led by women had systematically and significantly better COVID-19 outcomes. Let's look towards Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand as an example. It has been suggested that her down-to-earth and almost mother-like approach has attributed to her success not only in handling the crisis, but has also led to her winning a landslide election only a number of weeks ago. Now let's compare this to the chaotic and haphazard approach taken by Boris Johnson and Donald Trump. Yet the stark reality is that only 19 out of the 200 countries in this study were actually led by women. I'm passionate about this issue, and I call upon the support of you all, our male allies included, to bring this about and to help empower our female colleagues, set an example to other organisations and leading the way in this issue. If you don't mind, Chair, I'm going to pass over to Councillor Eva Finnegan to second the motion.
The second of the motion, sorry, Councillor Mason, is already done by Councillor McGuinness at Council. What will happen now is there is an officer's report of recommendations that will need to be proposed and seconded by members of the committee. Okay. So there is some councillors that are listed underneath. So I'll need to take them. So I can take in Councillor Finnegan to speak on it, if that's
okay. It's just that Councillor McGuinness, well, it was a joint motion with Councillor McGuinness, but unfortunately she can't be here tonight.
Yeah, I can take in Councillor Finnegan to speak to the motion, obviously, and then I'll need to take in members of the committee after that. So Councillor Finnegan, if you want to go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So, there has been evidence in the general population of a particular crisis for women, a vast confidence gap that separates the sexes. According to research, compared to men, women do not consider themselves as ready for promotions. They predict they will do worse in exams, and they generally underestimate their own abilities. This disparity stems from factors ranging from upbringing to biology to social norms, bearing in mind that women only garnered the right to vote and stand for election just over 100 years ago. It appears that change in politics, acceptance for women in the arena and confidence has been slow progress during this time. A growing body of evidence shows just how devastating the lack of confidence can be. Success in every walk of life, it turns out, correlates just as closely with confidence as it does competence. There is still a huge disparity in salary among many areas for women doing the same jobs as men. It's no wonder that women, despite all our progress, are still woefully underrepresented at the highest of levels. Whilst we have some of the most confident, politically astute female representatives in this chamber, a lack of confidence can impact us all, or indeed some more than others on occasion. And in particular, those outside this chamber who have not but may have considered putting themselves forward for political office as community representatives or other key figures in the wider political and civic landscape. As political representatives, we are supposed to be leaders in our society, role models to young women, and yet not very often afforded adequate training and development, which gives thought to different learning styles and differing approaches identified in research as being important for most women. As this results in limited opportunity to fulfil our own potential and bring other women with us. In South Armagh, many women's groups have been established over the years to try to minimise the gender gap in the social with what social activities are accepted in today's world. These groups have been a lifeline to women of all ages in having some sort of social life outside the home. There has also been a change in sport, with Gaelic for Mother and Others and Tag Rugby, just to name a few, that have grown rapidly in recent years. Some positive steps are being taken by very proactive women, but they need others with influence to back them up and help them find a voice within society and positively impact them on their mental health and well-being. When this women's subcommittee is set up for representatives of this council, then that in turn will benefit these groups with a platform to air their views through the political arena. We are political representatives. We have a duty to challenge and change the unequal, unspoken and sometimes unnoticed gender norms that exist within political life and, whether we want to admit it or not, exists within this council and every other sphere of political influence here and indeed worldwide. Just in the last few days, we have seen the election of Kamala Harris as the first female Vice President of America. This is massive in terms of promoting women in politics worldwide and gives young girls something to aspire to and gives the sense that anything is possible if you work hard enough and have the backing of those around you. And I want to thank everyone for taking time to consider this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Finnegan. Councillor Walker, I have you first.
Chair, thank you very much. And I want to thank Councillor Mason for bringing this motion. This is a motion that our party will be supporting. We have one female councillor in Councillor Catherine Owen, and I have to say, from she was co-opted on, she has been a breath of fresh air within our party here in the council, but also in the wider Rowallan area. And I actually think we should be pushing for more female representatives. The last female representative that we had in the DUP was 30 years ago, Ethel Smith, for the Newcastle area. And that's how long it has been since we have had a female representative. And I do have to say that I actually think that what puts maybe some women off is the abuse that they get. I have seen abuse that my colleague Catherine has got on social media. I have seen the abuse that people like Naomi Long and other politicians get. And, you know, that would frighten some females maybe in coming forward and putting their name forward for elected office. You know, and it takes guts to put your name forward, particularly, you know, people would say that us males have thick skins and that, but at the end of the day, I think that more females, ladies, should be putting their names forward, because as Councillor Mason has said, you know, you only have to look in this chamber now and to say, I know that the number of females within her own party has increased substantially in that, and they do play a big major role within this council. And I have to say, from Councillor Owen has come into this council, she has played a major role in the politics of the Rowallan area and the wider council area. So our party is totally behind this motion.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor Lewis.
Thank you. I just want to thank Councillor Mason and Finnegan for bringing this motion, and to say that our party will definitely be supporting it. We are trying to develop how we can bring more women into politics. The party has been conducting conversations and initiatives both locally and regionally as to how we can encourage more female representatives into politics. We have the Ulster Unionist Women's Council. We've had that for this past 100 years. We just need to get that more active, integrate more for younger members. And I am pleased to say that there has been a good increase in female members in our South Down youth wing, particularly over this past number of months. And look, can I just also comment on the abuse that elected representatives do take? I'm only new into politics last May, and I've had the police at my door now three times with three separate threats since last May, and that does play a big impact on your family and your life and your decision to go into elected politics. Last year, I was away on a trip with a female elected rep. She was a councillor on a different council, and some of the abuse that she was taking over phone, email, Facebook, Twitter was just absolutely abhorrent from people that actually were demanding that she speak to them, and demanding that she text back now. And I was actually hand in heart astonished by some of the text messages that she was getting, phone calls, abuse, and this was constant. Last year in our own district, my own colleague, Jill McCauley, stood for Westminster, and it actually got that bad that she had to turn off her phone at night. There was just men ringing her and asking her what she was doing, what she was wearing, all type of derogatory type of things down the phone and said messages. No, and this is just not on. And until we deal with that problem and really make sure that people who are coming into politics, regardless of gender, but particularly those young females we're trying to encourage in, until we deal with the problems and ensure that they're actually kept safe, and that there is a degree of making sure that public life doesn't mix with their private life, and we can give people those sort of safeguards, we can give them those assurances and bring really positive and educated and the dedicated people into politics who would give an awful lot, but at the moment feel that they just can't step up. I do welcome this, and the Dulcet Unionist Party does hope to play a full and active part within this group.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Lewis. Councillor Murray?
Yeah, thanks a million, Chair, and thanks to Cathy and Una McGuinness and Aoife there for bringing this motion. I think it's crucial, and in terms of equality, that, you know, everybody feels respected and valued, you know, regardless of gender or race or creed or whatever. You know, everybody should be able to put themselves forward in whatever walk of life and give the best that they have and get the same respect back. You know, I was reflecting as Cathy was talking about the other job I have in my life, teaching a school. There's roughly about 50 people employed in the school. There's 46 women and 4 men. And I know what it's like to be underrepresented in terms of gender. Seems like all the women love going into teaching and love being classroom assistants and that, but they're not just rushing to put their hand up to be elected representatives. And maybe that's something that, you know, we need to educate people about, and that's something that if a women's group is set up within the council, that councillors, female councillors, and indeed male councillors, was delighted to hear you say that this isn't a closed thing for female councillors. Anybody who wants to promote gender equality within a council could take a part in this here and get out and speak to young female people in our constituencies and encourage them to get involved in politics. I was thinking as well just about sport in South Armagh, and the Gaelic for Mothers and Others has become a huge hit locally, and you know, you've got underage girls teams in most clubs, and Armagh ladies are actually playing a big match against Mayo on Saturday now, and lots of excitement about it. There's lots of opportunities for our daughters and our sisters and our wives to get involved in and that there, so there's no reason why politics shouldn't be another one, so why should I encourage it?
Thank you very much, Councillor Murray. Councillor Hanlon?
Thanks, Chair. It's just more comment than anything. I really welcome this, the paper and the motion being supported by all the parties. I'm going to just sort of come at it from a different angle in terms of I'm probably a lot older than some of the councillors. My children are well reared, and I really do take my hat off to anybody with small children who enters the political field, because it is not conducive to normal working hours. You know, you can get called out at any time, and you know that's probably what we need to tackle here in terms of maternity pay or, you know, maternity leave, things like that. I'm lucky in our house that we're very much for equality, and I don't have to do as much as maybe other people do. So, but that has come from a lot of years of working, you know, full time myself. So, you know, I do recognise there's a lot needs to be done to encourage women into politics, because it's maybe not just the best environment. In terms of abuse, I'd have to say categorically, I've never experienced that so far. I hope I'm not opening them up myself to it, but I mean, as a woman, it's never been gender specific to my knowledge. So unless they're all doing it behind my back, great. But, you know, I do think, and I really do welcome, and I'm going to finish on this, that, you know, we need to get the men around this female group, and, you know, we need to have a good open discussion about how we make politics and our chamber, you know, a comfortable place for all of us.
And I can confirm Councillor Hanlon's house is very equal. I do see Emma out hanging the washing on the line and all of that. So.
I do not.
Just in case you weren't wondering, we're our neighbours, so that's only the reason why. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And just on your last note, if you come round to my house, it's only the men that hang the washing out. So I'll have to apologise for that one. Yeah, listen, Councillor Hanlon, I'm surprised our last comment about the abuse. I think we should swap passwords on our social media for a while. We can take a break. But listen, I'm all for this motion. I think it's really, really important. When I got involved in politics, one of the major points for me was equality. remember having a discussion with Geraldine Donnelly at the time about politics being representative of the people that it serves. And looking round chambers, it should represent the people that it serves. So we should have, you know, equal numbers in both male and female in the chamber. We should have equal representation for minority groups, whether it's ethnic minorities, whether it's LGBTQI+. And until we get there, we should always be championing and pushing it and bringing motions like this. So the SELP fully supports the sentiment that's in the motion. I think when we're talking about, you know, even group leaders or political parties, I think the strongest people in our party are female. I mean, we're talking about the likes of Claire Hannah, Nicola Mallon, Minister for Infrastructure. And when we put forward our nomination for Chair of Council this year, Laura Devlin, there's a couple of the comments there from listening to other councillors that sort of struck me, because of the conversations that we were having as a group, because Laura herself is a young mum and felt that, you know, that being a young mum and having kids at that age sort of meant that she couldn't go for roles like that. You know, and I think that needs to be challenged, because, and I know the moment that taught Laura that she could was when Nicola Mallon went to meet the Secretary of State in that infamous photo of walking with the red heels in the pram, pushing her across Stormont to meet the Secretary of State in the discussions to get Stormont up and going again. That we need to make sure that people know that politics is open for everybody, and we need to break down the barriers that stops people getting involved in politics, whether that's women or people from minority groups. And also just a brief point when we're talking about the group leaders. I know there was a comment made about the group leaders and none of them being female. I just have to share a couple of messages. When I became the group leader of the SELP, I didn't think much of it. But I'm telling you, the amount of messages that I got from Pride and Rainbow supporting groups that said, listen, that's quite important. Now, I didn't think about it, but it only struck me afterwards. And we need to, even if we don't see it, it's not sitting in front of us. You know, we need to have these discussions. So that point on females for group leaders, I think, is really, really important, because it does send out a message there to the public. But yeah, the SELP is fully supportive of the motion, and thanks to the councillors for taking it.
Okay. Last councillor indicated, and then I'll go back to Councillor Mason. Councillor Andrews.
First of all, thanks very much. And I must say that Councillor Mason, all a very good motion and well done, you know. And it's good to hear the various contributions from the various parties represented in the council. You know, on the National Association of Councillors, you know, I would sit on the executive, and we're doing a lot of work at the minute in relation to councillors, to conditions, and, you know, and more or less, I'd say we'll have two very good representatives, with Councillor Valerie Hart, who joined us this year, and Beth Adger, amongst others. And as I say, and in a way too, we need to look at the role of the councillor, and also in relation to the hours work that was there. There's still a lot of work to do, and as I say, I'll do my best working with you and working with everybody in the council, and I wish the women's group when it comes into being, I wish you all the best, and I can assure you of my support in any way at all possible. But thanks very much.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Mason, was there anything that you wanted to add to that?
No, not at all. Look, it's just basically really briefly to say a real thank you to everyone for their support in this. It's really heartening actually to hear it, and also to the council officers for preparing the paper. Just that said, other than I really look forward to getting this group set up, getting to work and looking at these really, really important issues, and hopefully making some changes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Mason. Doreena, I know there's a report. I see Councillor Howell has proposed. I take it there's nothing. You take the report as read, unless there's anything you want to add.
Yeah, I suppose it's just the only thing just to point out is that we're recommending the establishment of a working group. I know the terminology used in the original notice of motion was a women's subcommittee, but I think listening to Councillor Mason there, you're content with the establishment of a women's working group, and then the terms of reference to be worked up on that basis. So that's our recommendation for proposal and seconder tonight, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Doreena. So we have a proposer from Councillor Howell, seconded by Councillor Hanlon. From the comments of councillors, we are all in agreement. Yep. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, everyone. We'll move on then to item 5, which is the draft policies for naming council facilities, artworks and sculptures, and tree planting. And that's yourself, Regina. Oh no, So it is Regina. Yeah,
yes.
That was right.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members are asked to give consideration to and approve the draft policies, the associated guidelines and procedures, and the application forms for the naming of council facilities, the new artwork sculptures on council property, and the request to plant a tree on council property. The current policy on naming council facilities was amended to reflect the scope of the new draft policies relating to the artworks and sculptures and the request to plant a tree on council property. I mean, the report details the changes where they were made, changes that were made in relation to each one of the policies, where, for example, with the naming of council facilities, it's the request regarding park benches and plaques, because the other reports cover the issues in terms of the sculptures and also the planting of trees. In terms, as well as that, the naming of facility also relates to the fact that council will not accept requests to memorialise a deceased person or family. In terms of the artworks and sculptures on council property, applications will only be approved after agreement by council on the rationale for the artwork or the sculpture, the nature of the design, Mr. Chairman, and the identification and availability of preferred sites, and applicants will be responsible for the associated costs of all aspects, including the design, planning application, implementation, installation of the artwork or sculpture. In relation to planting a tree in council properties, again, applications will only be approved. This relates to a notice of motion that was brought way back in August 2019. Applications will only be approved after agreement on the species and the suitable available site for the tree has been identified, determined by council. The applicant can request a specific location. This will be very much at the discretion and approval of council. And indeed, if no suitable site exists at the desired location, an alternative will be offered where possible. And the council does not commit to providing a site for all requests and may indeed refuse applications on the basis that no suitable site exists. While the trees will be supplied by council, applicants will be responsible for the cost of the trees. The actual process, as I say, and procedures are all identified within the papers. So the recommendation, Mr. Chairman, is that members of the SPNR committee are asked to give consideration and approve the draft policies, pardon me, associated guidelines and procedures and application forms. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Regina. Councillor Murray, you're in with a question and proposal.
Yeah, thanks a million. I suppose the question, first of all, whenever I looked through all the documents in this here the other day, I was looking at the renaming policy, the draft policy on that, and it struck me, I was looking out in particular for the references to the bilingualism policy that the council has, and I suppose to the Irish language strategy, which would seek to promote the Irish language within the council and to make the Irish language more visible to the council. So we had these conversations after RPA when the super councils were set up and that there. And I was reflecting to, it was Colin Moffat I was talking to during the week, how great it is to see on the town hall, Hallan Walla, on the Sean Hollywood Arts Centre, a bilingual sign on the leisure centres on the Unage Foliacta, the bilingual sign is that, you know, it's something to be really proud of. And I know other councillors won't feel that it's something to be very proud of, but to me, as an Irish speaker, and to anyone who is an Irish speaker throughout the district, it's immensely proud. So I just wanted to ask, for the record, the question, where in this draft policy is there any indication that when we're making a decision to name any council facilities in the future, will there be any conversation had about bilingual signage or about naming something bilingually? And I'm more than happy to propose. I was very interested to hear about the tree planting thing and that, and it was something just when I was reading through it at home as well, I was thinking, you know, if it was something that somebody wanted to get a tree planted in Newtown Hamilton or in Cullyhanna or wherever it was or that, and the council couldn't facilitate it out there, well, it's worth putting on the record that people are more than welcome to go and get their own tree and plant their own tree in their own backyard. And, you know, they can do that. This is something completely separate. This is on council ground and getting a community tree planted or whatever. So, look, I'm more than happy to propose the recommendations.
Okay. I'll just bring Regina back into your question there, Bar.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, yes, in relation to the issue regarding the Irish language, section 2.4 of the Newry, Moran and Down District Council brand identity guidelines and the associated procedures in relation to the naming of renaming of facilities sets out that all signs shall comply council's corporate branding guidelines in relation to signage, and specialist naming signage should not be permitted. So it's actually addressed, Mr. Chairman, within our brand identity guidelines.
Okay, thank you very much, Regina. Happy enough, Para? Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Councillor McKee? You may be on mute, Harold. I can't hear you.
Talking myself as usual.
That's you now.
Yeah, just one or two wee things. Obviously, there's a number of items within that item, and I think that's all going to be addressed at the one time. It's all in relation to it. Request regarding park benches and plaques. If you go down to 4.1 of a third one down the line, it's in relation to, it doesn't even mention trees. So I don't know whether that's a mistake or not, but I think, you know, trees should still be included in it, because up to that date there had been certainly no change on that particular article. And then you have the cost of tree. You know, it says that the council will remove the tree, say, for example, 5 years later, should the tree perhaps be growing in the wrong place, if you like. You know, what is the cost of that tree 5 years later? Is it going to be cost according to the growth of the tree, because that's how you pay for them? Yeah, that's probably mainly that. Just one other thing I would just like to say in relation to this. It's a general thing, and maybe just when I'm speaking, but I don't think I've any reason to speak after this, in relation to democratic services. Whenever we're scrolling down through our work here, we have no idea what item we're on. There's no mention of the item on the pages. And I think when you come down to each of the last pages, you come down to a black covered sheet that says no item on the report. It says next document, view next download. There's still no mention of the item number, unless you close it down and then you'll see which item was before you. But I think it'd be very, very useful whenever the chairman say we're now on item whichever, and we need to know which item we're on, because you can very, very easily get lost. And I think that could be done. There's a couple of different places that could be done on, even on the first page of the new report, each time the item could be put on that. But as far as I see, there's no item unless you go out of it and back in again. Thanks, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor McKee. Regina, just on Councillor McKee's questions in reference to the policies, park benches and trees?
Mr. Chairman, the park benches relates to the first policy, which is the naming of council facilities. As I said at the start, that the original policy, the naming council facilities, has been amended to reflect that there's new draft policies, one relating to new artworks and the others to planting a tree on the property. So it's now actually the third policy that I spoke to regarding the trees. Number question four reserves the right to remove or relocation trees, will fully reimburse the applicant for the cost of the three. Obviously, Mr. Chairman, I can't comment on the cost because I don't know. I appreciate what the councillor is saying. It would depend on quite a number of variables and factors. I can't comment on the cost of the tree or what it would cost to remove it if it were to be required. I mean, I suppose that's a matter that would be addressed at the time, taking into account all of the different factors.
Yep. Okay.
Sorry, if I can just come in there, Chair. My understanding, just I think what we're trying to get at there is, if you request to plant a tree, the requester will pay for the initial cost. Should we have to remove it, then, you know, within 5 years, we will reimburse you what you paid at the time you requested it. So you, as the requester, will not be out of pocket, is what we're trying to achieve there, if we have had to remove it, you know, for some reason, with regard to our land. So it's so that the applicant is not out of pocket, really.
Okay. Thank you, Trina. All right. Moving on to, and we'll ask Democratic Services and IT to look at the other issue, Councillor McKee, around items and see what we can do to improve that.
Yeah, thanks,
Chair. Councillor Hanlon?
Yeah, thanks. Just to say, happy to second the paper. Just to comment around the trees in particular. I know this is something that Councillor Clark had brought to Council on the back of one of his constituents contacting him about they had lost a child, and you know this is they wanted to plant a tree in memory. So I do think it is a bit bureaucratic, but I think it needs to be done like that, and I think it is to be welcomed overall.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Hammond. Councillor Byrne?
My point's already been raised, Chair, so.
Okay, all right. All right, everyone, we've proposer from Councillor Murray saying to be Councillor Hammond. Everyone's in agreement? Yep. Okay, moving on then to item six, which is the Council's statutory advertising, and that's you again, Regina.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The report, as I stated, states that we are committed at the Council to communicate in a very open and transparent manner. And one way in which we do that is through the placing of advertisement statutory notices in relevant newspapers. And those notices cover recruitment, public notices, statutory notice, planning notice, advertising. And obviously we are obliged as an organisation to adhere to legislation regarding advertising specific functions as like planning and Article 8 of the planning defines that. We obviously must comply with corporate quality scheme requirements under Section 75 and the Council is required to advertise statutory notices in one newspaper circulating in the district. However, in discharging that duty we must take account of the geographical spread of the district reach and so to seek to advertise appropriate geographical regions. The Council took a decision at the September 2020 meeting to approve recommendation to go to tender for the statutory advertising. Now, whenever Mr. Chairman, officers began to actually action that, and we indeed had further conversations with the Corporate Advertising Agency regarding the procurement and placement of advertisements, we were very confident that actually the advertising agency at present was delivering its advertising solutions and media advice in full accordance with the ESPO framework agreement under which its services are employed. So because in accordance with that framework, which incidentally expires November 23, it is the responsibility of the Corporate Advertising Agency to implement day-to-day advertising solutions for Council, procuring advertising space at the most economical rate for Council. So, and based on their market intelligence, they will secure the local media publication which offers best opportunity in terms of geographical spread, reach and monetary value for Council. So Council officers will obviously continue to perform and manage that contract very effectively to ensure that the requirements are fully implemented. So the recommendation, Mr. Chairman, is that at the SPNR committee meeting on the 18th of August 2020, members recommended that Council go through a tender process. So the Council's statutory advertising is undertaken to ensure that value for money for the statutory advertising is obtained across the district's printed weekly newspapers. Council officers have looked at this matter further and agreed that the existing contract with the Corporate Advertising Agency under the ESPO Framework Agreement for Advertising Solution delivers what was recommended by Council. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, the recommendation is to continue to use the services of the Council's appointed advertising agency under the current ESPO Framework Agreement for Advertising Solutions to produce, manage and place advertisements in the local weekly press titles on behalf of Council, thus ensuring the Council's corporate identity is protected and geographical spread and reach and value for money can be achieved.
Okay, thank you very much, Regina. Councillor Brown?
Yes, thank you, Chair, and thanks, Regina, for the report. In principle, happy enough of it and good to see us continuing to support the local press, especially in these times when they face massive reduced revenue from advertising. I just have one query, and that's in what regard we've given to online newspapers especially in the digital age we now live in. I think it's important that we're also considering how they can be used to get messaging out that the council needs to advertise. I mean, in our area, off the top of my head, we have Down News and Newry.ie that cover the two main areas of the district, and actually increasingly, particularly with young people, that is often their main news source. So I note that the report only makes reference to the printed weekly papers, I believe, or at least the weekly papers, if it doesn't say printed. So I was wondering, will this advertising agency be considering online news at all? And if not, I'd like to make a proposal that they do give consideration to them.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Brown. I will bring back Regina, because I think under the order, the planning order in 2015, it needs to be print, but Regina can correct me. Regina?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, yes. SPNR previously, they took a decision not to look at it online, but that's something that we can look at again. And the report that I brought today does refer to the printed newspapers, but at the end of the day, the framework agreement that we have with the advertising agency, at the end of the day, it looks at providing the advertising solution and media advice for multiple and end users using all means possible to ensure that we get the message out there. So something that we can certainly look at again, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. I do see, so Patrick, you're saying, are you happy to propose the report, but with the addition that we ask officers in consideration to look at online as well?
Yes, and to make sure that the advertising provider is doing that as well. I think Regina's summed it up there. I'd be happy enough with that.
Okay, all right. And then, Councillor Walker, I see you for PN, but I'll take you as a seconder. Are you content
That's
with
okay.
the online? Yep. Okay. Is everyone else in agreement? Yep. Okay, thank you, Regina. Item 7 is the request from the Public Health Agency for the National Testing Partnership venue in Newry. And I'll hand over to Colin.
Thank you, Chair. Evening, everyone. The purpose of the paper tonight is to inform members of a recent request received from the Public Health Agency for a walk-in COVID-19 testing facility in Newry, and seek your approval for us as council to offer one of our facilities or one of our locations. Just by way of background, since the outbreak of the pandemic, we have been working closely with the PHA to offer facilities for drive-through facilities, and that's the mobile testing units, which are located currently at the Albert Basin, but also in Downpatrick and Newcastle. And they have proved to be very successful. And PHA are very grateful for the help that we give for providing them facilities. However, the National Testing Partnership, which is led by the Department of Health, have approached the PHA with a new approach to their testing, to increase testing, because not all people have cars for the drive-through. They don't have access to cars, and they want to have a walk-in facility. And they want to have multiple number of them facilities across the council areas. And they've identified that the preferred location within our council area is Newry. And they've approached officers to see, have we a location that could be facilitated or considered for such a testing facility. We have undertaken a review, and it's our recommendation here that we would allow them the facility to continue at the Albert Basin for a temporary structure, which they would be responsible for installing. And that means there'd be no real change in relation to their advertising of where testing takes place, and there'd be continuity of service in many ways. They would be shutting down their drive-through facility and providing a walk-through. So that facility would be required for a minimum of 3 months. We'll be open 7 days a week from 8 in the morning to 8 in the evening. So obviously this is to ramp up the amount of testing that can take place in our district. I think it has to be welcome from that point of view. So my recommendation to you is to get your approval for me to offer this site for this new form of testing, or new way of testing in the form of a walk-in testing facility.
Okay. Thank you, Colin. Councillor Andrews, I do see you're in, but as you're not a member of the committee, I'm going to bring in other members first of the committee, and then bring yourself in after that. That's the way of normally done this. So I do see Councillor Murray's proposed, Councillor Walker's with a P with a seconder, but Councillor Savage, you have a question?
Yes, Chair. Obviously, I welcome this, given the times that we're in, and hopefully over the coming months we'll be heading towards a vaccine. Just really calling for reassurance that this has no impact whatsoever on our plans for the park, given the timelines, etc. This is very much a temporary one, just to reassure people out there that this has no implications for our plans to develop a 15-acre park on the site. I just think it's important that we clarify that for the public. Thanks, Colin. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, very much. So, Councillor, it'll be for a minimum of 3 months, albeit in this time we'll have to be supportive with them, but they have no indication of how long it would last, but I'm sure our plans for the park can continue in parallel with this essential project. And certainly we will be doing all the checking in relation to what they're proposing as well, so it'll be built into any agreement to make sure what they're putting in is keeping what officers expect on the site. So no, there will be no impact on our other project.
Oh, happy enough for that, Chair. That's what I thought the situation would be, and I'm glad to get those reassurances and obviously support this and where we are at the moment. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, no problem. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And first and foremost, Colin, thank you very much for the update in the report. But and grateful to you, Chair, for letting me in as a non-committee member. But I'd like to raise a wee point. No, I do welcome the request for the use of council facilities for testing in Uri. But I would be more than grateful, Colin, if there's any way that the public health agency could be asked to offer a similar service in Downpatrick, taking into account the huge geographical spread of the district, and maybe Kilkeel or somewhere in the centre of the council area as well, taking on board the huge area that this council covers from outside Sinfield to Cross Madrian. And I do welcome the opportunity for the testing in Uri, but I feel that Downpatrick and other areas should be taken into account on the geographical spread of the district. So I'd be more than grateful if that could be conveyed back to the PHA and the Department of Health, and if additional testing, walk-in testing facilities could be provided across the district in the likes of Downpatrick, whatever, that would be very much welcome. But I do welcome the use of council facilities in the request in Uri, but I'd be grateful that of these points that I've raised could be taken into account also. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Andrews. I'm sure, Colin, given that the Newcastle and Downpatrick have a drive-in, it's certainly something that the PHA could consider for walk-ins if we can convey that to them.
Yeah, I really have, actually. I actually asked the question, and they said at this point in time, it's only new, but they would always keep it under review. So I preempted that question coming, and I asked that.
All right, perfect, Colin.
Thanks so much. You can ask again. Thank you.
All right, we have a proposal from Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor Walker. Everyone's in agreement? Yep, okay. Item 8 then is the minutes of the Newry City Centre Regeneration Project Board meeting, and that's just for noting. So we then are going into in committee. So the following items are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. So I just need a proposer and seconder to go into committee, please. Proposed by Councillor Gallagher. Seconded by Councillor Savage. Okay, folks. So I'll just wait for Linda or Sarah to give me the nod. And further recording.
Yeah, the press have been invited back in, but there's no word of them yet. If you just give them maybe 30 seconds just to see if they want to come back.
That's a very precise 70 seconds, Linda.
30, sorry, it must be my
All right, I'm not seeing anyone. So just while we were in committee, the following items were discussed under item 9, the emergency business plans, October 2020 to March 2021. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor Gallagher, that members approve the following recommendations. Chief Executive Departmental Emergency Business Plans, October 2020, March 2021, and Corporate Services Emergency Business Plans, October 2020, March 2021. Item 10, Office for Product Safety and Standards Funding Offer, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Howe, seconded by Councillor Byrne, that elected members agree to the recruitment of Environmental Officer until the 31st of March 2021 to carry out the work as detailed in the report. Item 11, Stage 2, Traffic, Transport and Car Parking, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor Savage, the elected members agree to consider the contents of the report and approve the recommendation to appoint White Young Green via the Council's multidisciplinary framework to undertake a desktop analysis of walking, cycling and public transport arrangements that exist within Newry to identify opportunities to improve the multimodal transport and to undertake consultation with key stakeholders in regard to the same. Item 12, proposed planning department structure, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Murphy. The elected members agree the new planned department structure in Appendix 1, allowing all positions to be filled permanently through the necessary recruitment processes. Item 13, surplus assets update, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Savage, has agreed to approve the following recommendations. 3.1, members to note the content of this report and associated appendices. 3.2, members approve to formally proceed with the sale of Newry Sports Centre to the Southern Regional College for the value stated in the officer's report on receipt of SRCs receiving their business case approval. 3.3, members' approval to formally proceed with the sale of the following surplus assets to the bidders listed at the value stated in the officer's report, which were on the open market between the 29th of September and 3rd of November 2020. Play area at Ashtree Cottages, Newry. Former refuge disposal site, Newry. Lockkeeper's Cottage, Newry. And play area at Crown Villas, Newry. Members approve for the next stage of the conveyancing process listed in 3.3 to proceed immediately. 3.5, members formal approval to commence the D1 process for the following surplus assets, the Clock Recreation Area Strigley and lands at the Mourne Esplanade, Kilkeel, and that the play area at the Bleary Bungalows Newry decision is deferred for 1 month. Item 14, Albert Basin City Park Governance Structures, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Murray, is agreed to approve the following recommendations. 1. 15-acre city park project at the Albert Basin in Newry becomes part of the Newry City Centre Regeneration Scheme project and associated governance arrangements as pre-Appendix 1. The Albert Basin task and finished working group being discontinued and the project progress as pre the above point 1 recommendation. And 3. The stakeholder forum for the Albert Basin would continue to meet as required. Item 15, management accounts to the 30th of December 2020, is agreed to note the content of the officer's report. Item 16, update on council's finances, is agreed to note the contents of the officer's report. Item 17, update on Brexit planning, is agreed to note the content of the officer's report. Item 18, Strategic Finance Working Group Action Sheet, the 9th of November 2020, is agreed to note the action sheet of the Strategic Finance Working Group, 9th of November 2020. Item 19, Ban Road Plainfields, Castle Ellen, it was agreed to note the content of the officer's report. And item 20, the Judicial Review Cost, Macrease Park, Newry, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Gallagher, that elected members approve the payment of a negotiated amount approved as detailed in the officer's report. Okay, members, that is us. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your evening and speak soon.
You too, Thanks, Gareth.
Thank
All the best,
you.
Everybody. Bye.
Thanks, Gareth. Thank you.